sorrow to fear. Grace my fears relieve. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior's ransomed me.
Words could fall like the rain. from these lips of mine. And if I had 1,000 years, I'd still run out of time. But if you listen to my heart, Lord, with every beat it will say, oh, I thank you for the life, I thank you for the truth, thank you for the way. Listen to my heart, hear our spirit sing a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love. Listen to our hearts. Oh, please listen to our hearts. Hear our spirit sing a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. Oh, we will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love. Our words are not enough to tell you of our love. Please listen to our hearts.
Amen.
Give my life completely to you. Fill me with your thoughts, make brand new, change my heart. Let me live in all that's true. I just want to think like you. I give my mind.
Completely to you, Lord, fill me with
beautiful? Just wonderful. I just love that song. Let's all stand together. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Brother Barry comes and to bring whatever is upon his heart this evening. And just may the Lord bless every one of us. Amen. Turn your eyes upon him now.
Oh, turn your eyes.
Lord Jesus, we could never sing quite enough. We could never worship you, Lord, to completion. We could never say it just adequately, Lord, what we really feel in our hearts. We just want to try to say it again tonight, Lord, that we love you. We appreciate you. We bless your name. We lift you up on high, Lord, among your people. And we just know, Lord Jesus, that this is just a temporary thing, a temporary time of gathering together, Lord, until we meet for all eternity. We look forward to that day. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be ready against that day. Because we know that day would have to come soon. And we just want to be ready, Lord, and we want to be sensitive to what you say and what you do and what your will is for our lives. And at the turn of another year, Lord, we know it's just another 24-hour period. But, Lord, we sense that there is a winding up and a culmination of all things, Lord. And it makes us sensitive. It makes us stop and reflect. Times like this, Lord, and realize that there's a group of people, Lord, that are heading in a different direction than all of the cosmos. And Lord, we want to be a part of that. We ask that you would just lead us and guide us in your will. We love you and we thank you for all your many blessings. We thank you for good health and strength. We thank you, Lord, for the bride of Christ, not only here tonight, but all over the world, Lord, and gathered in places, Lord, in the far reaches of the earth. We thank you for them and we ask that you would just minister to their hearts and to all that listen tonight. And may your Holy Spirit receive the honor and the praise and the glory for all that's done. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Let's take your Bibles, if you will, and I'd like to go to Hebrews chapter 13. We want to read there tonight to begin. And certainly good to be in the house of the Lord. Certainly nice to be back with you again in the church. And it doesn't seem to be very often that we get to come by this way, so it's always nice to have the opportunity and to be able to just say a few things as we will this evening in Hebrews chapter 13, and we'd like to read beginning at verse 20. And now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. May God at his blessing, you may be seated. Let me just add my 2 cents worth. I think some of the young people are going to talk a little bit on the weekend about the services up there in Michigan. It's probably, according to our estimate, it's probably about, this was around our 20th youth retreat that we had. Some of them went on long before I was around, and Brother Jeff and Brother Danny Williams were participants and ministers in that up in southern Ontario. And then, of course, we had a few down in the old Lima Church in the late 1980s, and then went up to Michigan, and now we're in the second place in Michigan. But it's amazing now, because this really was the first year that some of the early campers who were in the early retreats would now have children old enough to be coming to those retreats. So if you don't think that would make a fellow feel old, you're wrong. It does make a person feel old. And when we see that generational turn like that, and see the younger people coming on, and you look at them, and you know, you see the children, and they mention their last name, and they say, are you the son of so-and-so? No, I'm the grandson of so-and-so. And you know, it just gives you a whole different perspective on things. And it was just a wonderful time, and that's an understatement to say that. I think that some eternal things were done. We saw how God really spoke to the hearts of the young people there, and the unique blend of ministry that always comes there. And Brother Paul and Sister Rebecca just do an outstanding job in organizing with their church to be able to coordinate all the activities that go on there and organize all the different events. And it's just a pleasure to participate in that with them. And know it was a real blessing. So when you see some of the DVDs and the videos that come out, I know you'll really enjoy them. Certainly unique ministry that Brother Kadri Diggs had from South Carolina, and just a real blessing. And there just ain't no way to describe Brother Diggs. When you got to see him to believe him. I just wanted to take a couple of minutes if this is all right, and I wanted to do just, this is going to be a little bit of a different kind of a service, because we're going to do several different things, but just wanted to announce that we're going to have a meeting, and this is in February 8, 9, and 10. It's going to be held in my church in Hickory, North Carolina, and we titled it Take the Next Step, and it is a weekend where we were not able to have the men's meeting this year because we could not get the facility in Virginia, and we decided to have a meeting in our church where we focus on doctrinal teaching and answering some of the basic doctrinal questions about the message that we believe. When I went to several young men and young ministers and asked them if they had a preference, or if they had a choice, or a question about what kind of a meeting they would like to attend, all of them said the same thing to me. They said that you make assumptions, some of you older ministers, and I didn't appreciate him calling me an older minister, but he said some of you older ministers assume that we know all about the third pull and the tenth vision and the serpent seed and all the different things that are mentioned in the message. And they say, we quote those things in services, and we really don't understand how all of those pieces go together and how all those things have their foundation and they carry right on to today's message. And they said, we would really like to have a message that covers the fundamental doctrines of the message and allows us to see how they come right into our time. And so we assembled a team of ministers. Brother Lonnie is one, Brother Paula Fontaine, Brother Tim Dodd, and Brother Jason Watkins, who are going to be there. And we're going to take from Friday till Sunday, and we're going to be dealing with those doctrines and be able to have some questions and answers time for the brothers as well. We are very limited in the amount of people that we can take, but we're interested in having some of the brothers from around the country come. There's some coming from Europe and Canada, and we have generated quite a bit of interest in that. And I think for young men, young ministers, I think it'd be a tremendous learning time for them to be able to come and participate. So that's available. You can find more information on my website, which is hickorybibletabernacle.org. We'll be going over to in the Ukraine again on February 25th, Lord willing, and we're going to be having a ministers' meeting over there. And that's an opportunity for all the ministers in that part of the world to get together. And we do a lot of teaching and question answering and interacting with the ministers over there, as Brother Lonnie began several years ago. And then the other thing I wanted to put up there was that we're planning, Lord willing, to be going to Pakistan again as soon as it is feasible for us to do that. And I'll say a little bit more about Pakistan in just a moment. If you go to the next screen, please. I guess I can do that here, can't I? Let's look at a couple of scriptures. And what I wanted to do was just give you just a very, very short, concise little statement that was on my heart about God's will. And we read a little of that this morning and this evening in the reading in Hebrews chapter 13. When you look at anything related to the will of God, and whenever we come to a new year, we cross over from one to another, there's always a couple of comments that are consistently made. Number one, it's amazing how quick the previous year went by. And number two, it's amazing that because we never thought we would come this far in time. A lot of you that are shaking your heads there will probably agree with me that you never thought you'd see your children go to school or get their driver's license, and now you're dealing with grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And so universally there's a feeling that we probably never thought we would come along this far in time, but here we are. And then the third thing that we often say about the passing of a year is that this year is going to be different. I'm going to do some things a little bit different, and all the things that I intended to do last year and never got around to doing, I'm going to do them all this year. I'm going to lose 10 pounds, I'm going to save a little bit more in my savings account, and I'm going to travel here or travel there or whatever else. And we make lots of resolutions, or I guess a lot of decisions or choices about the upcoming year. But really, when we talk about the will of God, it isn't about what we want to do at all. It's about what He wants to do. And it's about what He wants to do through us. And it's about what He has planned for us. And I mentioned this to the young people last week, and I think it's something that has grown more important for me over the last couple of years. And this may seem very self-evident to you, and you say, Brother Barry, you've been in the message all these years, and you still never knew that. But sometimes, you know, it's one thing to know it in your mind, but it's another thing to actually have the experience in your heart, and to have it really anchored in your heart. And that is this. That the sooner we get around to doing things God's way or according to His will, the better off we all are. And things work together so much better when we do it God's way. Because this is not about us, it's about Him. And it's about what He desires and what's well-pleasing to Him. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9 it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." It is not being filled with the knowledge of His will that you might do what you want. It is to be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, and being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So to say that we successfully walked in the will of God means that we would be fruitful in His work, because it's His plan, it's His program, it's His directing, and it's His guiding. And therefore, there's going to be fruits and an increase in the knowledge of God. We come to find more out about Him and about His ways and about His love and the depth of His patience and His grace to us, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. It isn't about us, and it isn't about what we want to do. It's His will. It's His program. It's His vision. It's His bride. It's His church, isn't it? The things that He gave you, they really are His. We are only stewards over them. And the best thing we can do is take what God gives to us and give them back to Him and surrender them back. And say, Lord, take my mind, take my body, take this vessel, and take my finances, and take my gifts and talents, and take my singing voice or my piano playing, and take my family, and take my marriage, and take it all. And Lord, just use it and use me as a vessel in Your hands. And when we do that, the fruits are evident. Let's go to another screen. And I really like what Brother Bram says in the message, Shalom. Where he describes about he's passing over into another year. There's a couple of quotes or a couple of statements here, and the first one is in God's provided way. And he said, we must keep that in mind, that God doesn't do anything just for myth or just for the sake of doing something. He said, God's got a purpose. He's got something in His mind that He's trying to do. Whenever anything happens to us, and he's talking about some different events in Scripture there, and he said, God doesn't do it just for the sake of doing it. He said He's always got a purpose, and He's got something in His mind that He's trying to do. And if we can only find what He's doing and find His will, it would behoove us to take a little time and pray and find out what the Father's trying to do. Amen. Sometimes when things happen to us, it's good for us to stop and to say, God, whatever it is that You wanted me to learn from this, I would like to know that before we move on. Because I would not want to have to repeat this tragedy or this stop in the program again. I'd like to learn from it. And Lord, I want to know what it is that You're trying to do. What is it You're trying to accomplish in my life? Are You trying to slow me down? Are You trying to speed me up? Are You trying to make me go left or go right? Because there's a will that God has. And very often God speaks to us, but very often we don't listen well. We're not a people who listen well because we're busy and we're often doing things that we think God wants us to do. We think that we get very excited about. But God has a will, and sometimes when we forge ahead with the things that we desire to do, God has to use louder and louder ways of getting us to stop and listen. And so therefore, Brother Bram said, when something happens to us, when things go wrong, or when things happen and we don't understand, and those things often happen to us, he said it's good for us, it would be good for us to stop and take a little bit of time to pray and find out what God's trying to do. Because there are things that God wants to accomplish in your life, whether we want those things or not. Let's go to the next. Let's look at the next screen. In Shalom. Now, here's Brother Branham now going through the end of one year and into another year, and a very pivotal year in his ministry, because he's just come through the time where the seals have been opened, and Brother Branham realizes now he's into a realm that is higher than anything that he's ever been involved in before. This is a moving higher than where he was before. And so when it comes into the end of 1963 and 1964, Brother Branham says now, changing the pages or changing calendars doesn't change time. A lot of people will say, well, the old year is gone and we'll throw away the old December calendar now and we'll put the other one there, a new year. And that's all the new year means to them. That's what the new year means to them. We're going to turn over a new leaf. But now to him, this is what he said. And I thought this was very applicable to us. He said, to me, I want to see what's promised for the day. I want to see what God's promise is for this day. And I want to know what the light of the hour is so I can know how to walk in it. Now that's a great desire. To me, that's a great resolution right there. And we want to be able to know what the light of the hour is so we can walk in it. And I want to know where I'm living and what age I'm in and how far up the road I am. And as Paul said, forgetting those things that are in the past, now I press toward the mark of the high calling to the complete identification when all time will fade out and out into eternity when Jesus comes. So there is a word for this day and there is a light for this day. And the best thing we could do, the best thing we can accomplish for ourselves and for anybody else is to walk in the light of that hour and to know where we are so that we can walk in this world in a way that's pleasing to God. If we don't walk in the light of the hour, then we really have no business on the mission field. Right? If we don't walk in the hour, then we really have nothing to say to other members of the Bride of Christ around the world. It's until you catch the light and you walk in the will of God for the hour that we're living in. That's when we have something to say, because that's the light that God is in any particular hour. Right? So we want to be walking in step with that. And I guess we would probably summarize it and say that in terms of a resolution, the best thing we could possibly do is know exactly where we are supposed to be right now and walking in the light that God has provided, and then let God take you on from there to accomplish His will. Right? All right, now it takes courage to do that, and let's look at what he said. My time belongs to him. Again, now we're in Shalom. My time belongs to him. I am his, and I'm in his hand because he holds the time. And I don't know what the future holds, but I know he holds the future. So he who holds the future holds me. And so why should I think about setting forth this or that or the other for the new year? I just put myself in his hands and walk like David did and said, my time is in his hand. Amen. And he knew that God held the future. And David didn't know what the future was, but he knew that God had the future. And I don't know what the future is. None of us do, but we know who holds the future. Do you believe that? Amen. But you know, it's interesting when we couple that with this next statement and realize that there are bad things that happen to good people and there are some unusual things that come our way. Things we did not bring on and some we did as a result of a previous action. So let's look again now what Brother Bram says or how far he goes with this. He said, Shalom, God's peace be light upon you. And when God's word is vindicated in this age completely, and you see it and believe it, shalom to you. It is peace to you. And he said, face the new year with this. And put him, as David said, I'll put him always before me, because he is on my right hand, and I shall not be moved. If you meet death this year, what difference does it make? If you meet death this year, what difference does it make? He said, God promised that he would raise you up. And if an accident killed you, what difference does it make? You have eternal life. I'll raise him up at the last day. What if anything happens? He said, no matter what it is, nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. That's amazing, isn't it? No matter what happens. And we often say that, you know, that, well, hey, no matter what happens, the Lord, whatever it takes, and so forth. But when we go to saying that and we go to realizing that there are a lot of unusual things that can happen to God's people. And again, some of it we bring on, but a lot of it we don't. And things come our way and things happen to us. But you know, no matter what it is, God's not lost any of his because he said nobody can take them from my hand. Right? We're accounted for either on this side or on the other side. And so when somebody passes away from us, we don't say they're lost or they're gone, because you can only lose something when you don't know where it is. When one of God's children, when they pass away, we know exactly where they are. So they're not lost. They're not gone. We know exactly where they are. And so there's a shalom. There's a peace in walking in God's will, because he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And so I think there's a real rest to walking in God's will. And I as I began to reflect on these statements and the quotes that Brother Branham gave us here, I was thinking that there's really not a problem for us as long as we're walking in the light of this age. It's really not a problem for us because he will see us through, and he has provided for us within that light. And so we're just thankful for God's goodness to us. Well, let me take a few minutes now, and let's just take a little trip. We're going to depart and just show you some of the things that are taking place currently in the world. And because I don't get to the church here very often, we talked about doing this evening, and just for a few moments, we wanted to share some of the things that have happened since the recent updates that you've received. I think it's today that the recent Global Missions newsletter came out. I just got it. Brother Jim gave me a copy just before I came to the pulpit here. And my son Andrew and myself were in Dubai in November of this year. And so Andrew wrote most of the article that's on the front here, and it's dedicated to that trip and what's happening in the Middle East area. Brother Tony Abma is traveling within a day or two over to the Middle East and going to some very, very interesting places that now are opening up because of the broadcast and because of the spread of the gospel. He's going into Saudi Arabia, he's going into Syria and Lebanon and some other nations over that way, and making contacts with new believers and people interested in the message. You had to remember now, as we said before, this is one of the last areas of the last frontiers where the message has never been. And so it's opening up now, and we're able to make some personal contact with people over there. And this newsletter is a little bit about that and what we're seeing happening in the nation of United Arab Emirates. That's where I'm directly involved. The picture that you have on your screen up there is actually a photograph that one of the brothers who was with me on the trip, Brother Steve Fulkerson from Calgary, Alberta. It's a shot of the ceiling. And in the hotel we stayed at in United Arab Emirates, they have in every hotel room, you will find somewhere an arrow just like this, which points to Mecca. And whenever the people who stay in that hotel room, if they're Muslim people, they pray five times a day if they can, and they kneel and they pray towards Mecca, where the stone is. And so to help you out, they put this arrow in every hotel room, and this one's on the ceiling, so that you know where Mecca is. It'll give you the direction of where it is. And when you're over there, you're always reminded that you're in a nation that is hostile towards Christianity. They're hostile towards everything except the Muslim faith. And you're constantly reminded that the Christianity that you bring there is not welcome at all. They like us to come over there and bring our money. They like us to bring our worldly ways. They like us to bring our fashions and so forth. But they do not want our morality. They do not want our democracy. And they do not want this message. They absolutely do not want it. And so you're always reminded of that, and we're had to be very careful. And we took a picture of that because it's one of the reminders that you always see when you're there. Now, just very quick, I'm just going to run through some of these pictures, some of these people that you will know. As you know, when we go to places like this, we spend a lot of time talking to the ministers, and this is with Brother Anwar and some of the other pastors over there. And we spend hours just going through the message and answering questions. And the more that they learn and discover in the message, obviously the more questions they are created, and they're dealing with denominational people, and so it's very profitable to sit and to discuss the message with them. And I took mental notes very often, and I took physical notes very often when I listened to Brother Lonnie in the former days, and I listened to Brother Lonnie talk to ministers and so forth. So that was really very helpful for me in learning how to talk to ministers today. We brought over a new camera system for the believers in Pakistan. And as you know, things are opening up and developing very rapidly in Pakistan. Most of you know that. And so when we went over, we bought this camera. Our church in Hickory bought this camera for the folks in Pakistan. And we used it in this trip in the UAE. And we were training Anwar on how to do that and then allowing him to take that camera back into Pakistan again. And it was a complete outfit that had the wireless microphones and so forth so they could make better videos of the and DVDs of the services that are held over there. The only thing that they were using before was a little handheld Sony camera that they had to rent every time that they held a meeting. So now this allows them to be able to have that. You got to remember, in Pakistan they have about 70% illiteracy among the people. So most of them don't read. And the best way for them to listen to the message is on a DVD. So we put a DVD player everywhere we could in the nation among the people there so that when they make the DVDs and send them out, they can watch the services and the conventions and everything that's held in that area. And also those are sent to other places in the world where they speak the language of Urdu. This is a poster that the people drew up there for the meetings that we held in November. And they have pictures of us on that poster there. And they also have a picture of Greg Alford on there and Brother Richard Oliver from New Zealand. And they were coming the week after I was there to hold meetings also in this Christian center. Now, what was really interesting about this Christian center, and the reason I put that there, is in this Christian center, it's a compound that the government built for Christians to go and do whatever they want. Because they don't want Christianity out in the street, and they don't want you renting a storefront, they don't want you holding meetings in your apartment. If you're going to practice Christianity, you have to go where the government tells you. So they built a box, they built a compound, and it's a nice one. And they say, okay, when you get in here, you can pay your fee, you can have a room for 2 hours, and you can worship whatever way you want to. You can worship trees, you can stand on your head, you can sing Christmas carols, all you want, whatever you want to do, it's entirely up to you, but you have to do it in here. You can't take it out on the street. All right, so every province in that country, there's 7 of them, they have one of these facilities, all right? And every one of them are built the same way, the same principle. You can rent it and do what you want. Now, Brother Yacoub, who's the pastor there, he held church in there for years and years and years under the UPC banner. Years and years and years. There's Seventh-day Adventists in there. There's Catholics in there. There's Buddhists in there. There's all kinds of people in this interdenominational center. And Brother Yacoub was holding church there for a long time as a UPC minister and had a UPC group. Now that he's come in the message, though, now that he's preaching the message of the hour, and with me coming over for my third time, they had somebody in that service one of the times when I was there. I don't know who he was, but I was bringing them an understanding of serpent seed. And after that meeting, whoever it was that went there left and went and told the man who's in charge of this center. And the next day, they pulled Brother Yacoub in and had him on the carpet. And they said, what are you doing in that place? Why is this man over here from America? And what is it that you are teaching? And I told Brother Yacoub, I said, you know, and Brother Yacoub was very upset at that, because all of these years he'd been in there, preaching away. And now that the message has come, now there's an upset. Now they're all in a flap because the message is being preached. And he said, we've been hearing reports about, you know, that you've diverted away now from the UPC and so on. And I said, Brother Yacoub, you know, in life there are good problems and there are bad problems. And this is a really good problem. I said, this is just like the book of Acts all over again. I said, you've been in that center for years and years and years, and nobody has said a thing to you no matter what you preach. Nobody said a word. But as soon as the message arrives, now all of a sudden they're all ready to throw you out on the street. I said, you know what this is? This is spiritual warfare, and this is the book of Acts all over again. Now, for Brother Anwar and I, who were there, I said to Brother Anwar, I said, listen, we know, I said, my faith tells me that God's going to look out for this man. And God's going to watch over him. And I said, God can even allow the authorities just to pass by him and not do anything at all. And I said, if he's the man of the hour and he's got the message of the hour, he doesn't have to fear one thing. But I said, his faith is not there quite yet. So I said, we're not going to ruffle the feathers here, and we're not going to, muddy the waters. I said, we just want to encourage him and let him make his stand. Because trouble sometimes, the strong winds that blow, they will cause your roots to go down deep, won't they? And so I told him, I said, Brother Yacoub, we stand behind you, whatever decision you make. And I said, but I know this one thing. I said, no matter who comes against it, I said, I believe the Bible is true, and I believe that God sent a prophet in this last day. And he looked at me with tears in his eyes, and he went like this. He said, I could never turn my back on the truth. And I said, well, if you take that stand, I said, God will stand for you. Because the scripture says, if we stand for him down here, he'll stand for us before our Heavenly Father. And I said, you don't have a thing to worry about. And so they went back the next day, and he and Brother Anwar went in and talked to this man, and Brother Anwar began to explain where some of these teachings came from. And he did it all from the Bible. And so the man said, well, he said, you know, I wouldn't mind reading about some of this. He said, do you have any books or anything at all that I can read? Anwar says, yeah, I think we can fix you right up. He says, we'll bring some. So the next day they brought Brother Greg Alford and Brother Oliver back with them and went back to see him the next day. And this man was very impressed now that there were people from all over the world coming to speak to this little group of about 20 men. And he said, this is impressive. And so the last going off, he took the messages and he began to read them. And, Lord willing, I mean, you never know where those things will go. But at this point, he's still there in the center. This is the room that they rent, and we were holding service there with the group. And about maybe two-thirds of this small group of people is his church, and the other people are ministers there that came to listen, and some that have been coming every time that I came to visit with the saints there in Dubai. We went to one of the homes over there and held a little Bible study among some of the people that have not been in church yet. One of those brothers was in church, but the rest of them were being introduced to the faith. And we just had a tremendous time in talking to them about the message and about what God has done. And these are people who have never heard anything about the message of the hour at all. This is all the very, very first time. And so when we minister over there, we very often take them to the scripture and just show them, according to the Bible, exactly what it is that God has done and what he promised about our time and what the end time events really mean for us and how close we are to the passage over, the gospel going back to the Jews and then crossing over into eternity. And we take a lot of time biblically to show that. And it's just a blessing for those people to do that. But if you don't think it's hard on the mission field, this is one of the hardest things you'll ever have to do. And that is preach sitting down on the floor for about an hour and a half. I'll tell you, that's hard to do. And when we were in their living room, they don't have any chairs and couches over there, as Brother Lonnie will tell you, and Brother Jeff. And so we sat on the floor and went through the scriptures with them. But we had just had a tremendous time. This was the last night we were there. And from there, we went directly to the airport and came home. In the previous June of 2007, we were there in Dubai. This is my third trip now, third time that I've been to Dubai. And we went there in the middle of summer. You do not have to worry about lots of traffic on the roads and full hotels in the middle of summer in Dubai because it is very, very hot. And anybody over there who is wealthy is gone. They're gone to the colder climates during the summertime. But we went over and visited with the brethren over there. And I showed this picture because we were buying a computer for Brother Yacoub and the believers there, and we put the message on it for them to be able to study. This is the first time any of them ever had a computer. And so we were walking down from the shop there where we bought the computer, and that's my son Stephen on the left-hand side, and the other brother that's there is Brother Rick Purdy from Edmonton, Alberta. And we are glad to have Brother Rick with us tonight. He's sitting in the back row, and I'm not going to make him stand because he injured his knee up there at the Winter Youth Retreat. And so I'm not going to make him stand tonight, but we were certainly glad to have Brother Rick with us. And he travels with us overseas occasionally, and is a great help over there. And we were buying that computer for Brother Yacoub and for the believers there. Now, on this trip, and I knew that this existed over in the Middle East, but I had never had the opportunity to meet with the underground Arab Christians. Most of the people that we had been dealing with are people who are converted from some faith, and are from another country. So there's a lot of other nationalities who come to Dubai to work on the massive development that goes on in that nation. I mean, it is absolutely mind-boggling to see how much development and building goes on in that city. And it is breathtaking. And so in order to get all that construction done, they bring all these workers in. But I knew that in that area, in that part of the world, there had to be Arab Christians. These are people who are locals, not from other parts of the world, or who are true Arabs who were converted into Christianity. And some of the people had told us that yes, they were there, and they would try to make contact for us so that the next time we came, we'd be able to meet them. And through a long series of events that are a little too long for me to go through, we were able to meet Brother Bona at a Starbucks at midnight in an empty mall. And it took us all of our time. This is the day before we left, and it took us all this time to be able to arrange a meeting place with him. And he finally came to meet us at that very late hour. He is a part of a church that has other converted Arabs in this church. And he talked about some of the dangers and some of the ways that they meet and some of the things that they do. And he kept referring to the enemies of these people. He said, I am not so much persecuted. He said, I am a North African. He's from one of the northern African countries, and he is an Arab and converted into Christianity. Just a wonderful, friendly man. He was not afraid of his Christianity or his belief at all. But he said, there are people who worship with us, he said, who are constantly persecuted by the enemy. And I will say this, it's a different feeling, Brother Lonnie, than being in the Russian countries, because over there in Russia, they would just throw you in jail or send you to Siberia, and you know, you'd stay there for as long as they wanted to. But in these countries over here, they're much more violent and much more dangerous. And so there is a real risk in saying that if you're an Arab, to say that you are now a Christian. And when he kept referring to the enemy, I finally asked him, and I said, who is the enemy that you're referring to that these people are so afraid of? And he said, they're the Muslims. And he said, they would kill my children. They would kill our wives. He said, if they knew that we had converted to Christianity. So they do not play games with this at all. These are people who are under layers of underground cover, and they only come out occasionally, and they're with the believers there, but they mix right in among the streets. And so these people have no idea, as far as we know, they have no idea about the message at all. But what I wanted to do was to make a contact with one of them who would lead me into that group of people who exist in that part of the world. As you remember, this nation is right next door to, it's a neighbor with Saudi Arabia. And this is an area where they have very strict religious rules, and certainly Christianity is not welcome at all. But he invited me to come to his fellowship the next time I'm there. And he said, I'll arrange with my pastor, and he says you'll be able to come and you'll be able to meet some of these people who were there. But obviously, he said, you know, they don't want you to take pictures of them. And he says they don't want their identity spread around at all, because he said it's very dangerous for these people to be able to, to be able to profess their Christianity, be it outward about it. He said they love being Christians, and he said they really enjoy the faith and they love learning about it. He took the message books that I had. We had a stack to give him and some information about the message and about Brother Branham, his life story. We took all of that and gave it to him. He gladly took it. And he said, I will give these to my pastor there. But he was very reluctant to, give the identity of these people away at all or where they were. He said, I would have to take you to where they are in the fellowship. And so it was a real kind of a breakthrough for us, because we discovered that there's a whole layer of people that we have never, we've never found. We've never approached at all with the message of the hour. Pakistan has been in the news of late, over the last week especially, where they had the assassination of the presidential candidate, Benazir Bhutto, and it threw the country into a turmoil. Now, I've been away in the youth retreat, and we have very limited access to things that were happening, but we had, Brother Jim finally got a hold of Brother Anwar, and when the assassination took place, the country went into quite an upheaval, and we finally got a hold of Brother Anwar and talked to him. Brother Anwar is an old veteran of trouble in his country. He's seen lots of unrest and lots of political upheaval and so forth. They learned to live with that. But when Brother Jim talked to Brother Anwar, he was very reserved and very concerned about the situation in the country. This was several, 3 or 4 days ago, and they were housebound there. We had offered to pay for them, for him and his family, to fly out and go to Dubai and wait there until the trouble was over. But he said, essentially, he'd be taking his life in his hands to even go to the airport. So they had to stay inside. They were burning churches, they were burning buildings and looting businesses, and it was very dangerous for them to go outside. After their 3 days of mourning had passed for Benazir Bhutto, the country began to settle down, and they're doing investigations on the assassination and so forth, and so they are settling down a little bit more now. But we still have not heard back from Brother Anwar again, but the last that we heard, he was just staying very close to home. As you know, God's doing a great thing in Pakistan, and there's a great expansion of the message there. It's reaching all over the entire country, and of course there are millions and millions of people there, and new churches are growing all the time. I was just fascinated with some of Brother Anwar's stories. Whenever you go, and you know, we were traveling in Dubai because he's the interpreter, and we were traveling together, he was telling us stories about how he's still being invited back into UPC circles where they ask him to speak. And whenever he does, you know, he said it's just amazing. There are people that, always come out and are interested in the message. And in one of those conventions, he was asked to speak. And when he began to, you know, he's given a Bible testimony. And then when he began to introduce the message, there were some leaders who jumped up in the congregation and shouted him down and told him to stop. But yet the people who were listening, there was about 800 people listening, they were so excited about what Brother Anwar said that when he left the platform and walked off, there was about 100 of them who followed him out the door. And he preached to them outside the building and began to testify about the message. And he said he sent them all to local churches, some of these churches here, and they were giving him books and tapes and so on. They were just excited about what he had to say. First time they'd ever seen him. And he spoke for about a half an hour and was turned out from the platform. And he said all these people just got up and said, well, we want to hear him. We're not interested in what these have to say. We want to hear him. And just left and went and followed him out and listened to the message of the hour. But Anwar, I think, is just a real servant of God. He's a wonderful steward, and he's just doing a tremendous job in spreading the message over there and providing real leadership among the people there. There's a shot of him and his wife are doing the video editing, and they're doing they do the DVDs and so forth. And some of the other pastors now are coming up and becoming solid in the message. Brother Shimon from Karachi, they have 20 million people. in that city. And Brother Shimon has a church that's about the size of this platform right here. It has about 120 people who are in that church. And it's just an enormous field, just his city alone. It's just amazing what he does. We've been helping to build some churches in Pakistan because of the growth there. This is one that's in Manawala. And Brother Jim has probably showed you some of these pictures here. And these are ongoing in the country there. And we're just excited to see that many new places go up. Over the last year, though, we collected funds for Brother Anwar to be able to build a facility in Lahore. And this is the diagram of it. And you may have seen this as well in the church. I don't know what Brother Jim has shown here. But this is the builder's drawings of the building. It's a two-story building. And it's going to be an outreach center. It's going to be a church. And it's going to be a house for Brother Anwar and his family. They already have purchased the land. I don't have a shot of it there. I'm sorry. They already purchased the land. And they are starting to build on it there. And hopefully in this coming year. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to go to Pakistan, is just to stay with Brother Anwar and just encourage him and to help in whatever way we could. But we think we have just about all the funding that is necessary for the building of that center in Pakistan. And that will really help be able to spread the message out, have material stored up in that place. We were in Alushta again in the fall and met with the ministers and the folks that were there, and had several hundred people who were there. That's an annual event. And had different times with the ministers there. I want to show you just a couple of other pictures here. One is of Brother Sergei Volkov, who is a young man who has recently moved from Germany over to Moscow. He is the pastor of the Moscow church. They've needed a good, strong pastor for a number of years. Moscow is a very unusual place. It is the center of the world over there. Everything happens in Moscow. Every flight goes through Moscow airports. Everything that's exported within the Russian countries all has to pass through Moscow. It is literally the center of the world for that part of a whole hemisphere over there. And Brother Sergei is pastor of a church there. It has been for about the last 3 years listed as the most expensive city in the world to live. It is unbelievable to know how fast the prices rise and how exorbitant, how much things actually cost over there. It is really exorbitant. The folks over there had saved some money and they bought a piece of land to build a church, because the church building they were in is literally falling apart. It is literally falling apart. When Rapp and I were there in the early part of this year, we were in their building, which is being held together by wire rope or chains. The front wall of the church is held on by a chain, and it's wrapped around the chimney. And Rapp and I are just standing there looking at the gap in the wall. The wall is literally falling out this way. And we were looking at the gap where the wall is falling off, and the chain holds that wall actually on. It's amazing. The building is condemned. They tried to burn it down. They run things with a generator because there's no electricity or heat. They stole the generator out of it. They tried to burn the building down. It's condemned. The owner said, well, you can just stay there as long as the building stands up. And these are the people in Moscow, and they need a church building. Yet in Moscow, it's very, very expensive to do anything. So they bought a little piece of land that was way out in the country, a long way from where the city was. About a month after they bought the piece of land, the city announced that they were going to extend the subway right out to where their land was. So the value of the land just about tripled in cost. And they're sitting on a very valuable piece of land, but yet they don't have any funds in order to actually begin a structure. And a very, very simple structure over there costs more than just about, I think, any other structure ever built on the mission field. And we've started a little fund for the believers over there to try to help to get some resources so they can begin the building process. But it is definitely a place where they need to have a new facility. Otherwise, it's going to fall down. We received these just the other day, Brother Anton and Brother Vitaly, who were helping to put together books over in Russia. And let me just say this, that I think it's a wonderful thing when we look at Brother Lonnie and the work that you have done on the mission field and others have done on the mission field as well, and sowing the seeds in the early years. And now we begin to see, even in a short 10, 20 years, you see the results of that, where believers are coming in, churches are growing in Pakistan and Russia and the Middle East and in Africa, and you see the message growing and expanding there. It's a wonderful thing. Just like we mentioned about the youth retreat. You see, years ago, somebody has a vision and starts something, and now you see generations of young people that are coming and lives being touched by the inspiration that comes by one man or a couple of men who decide to hold a meeting. And it's amazing how following in God's will, and that's what I began with tonight, talking about God's will. When we do it His way, the fruits come, don't they? We may not always understand how all of these things fit together, but when it's God's will, the job gets done, and there are good fruits that come as a result of it. And so now when you see and you look in the work and see how these churches are growing and becoming solid in different parts of the world, it's just an inspiration to see how strong these believers have become and how far they're reaching out in spreading the message and doing the work that they're doing. It's just exciting to see that. Brother Anton sent over a picture and wanted to say hello to all of you folks especially. And here he is over in his little town and wanted to send the picture over and just to let you know that he's thinking about you, and he's got a new job that allows him to be able to work in the bank and then continue on in the translation work that's going on there. So from Brother Anton and from all the other believers that worship just like us from all over the world, they send their greetings and their love. And I always tell them, I said, I just look at my job as one. I go over there and tell them what's happening over here, and then I come back over here and tell the people over here what's happening over there. And I said, one day my job is going to run out. One day my job is going to end. You know that? Because we're all going to be in the same place. And if we're all in the same place, you can all look for yourself, and you can all go fellowship with those believers, and you can all look at, you can all gather around and take pictures yourselves, and you won't need me to take pictures from over here and send them over there and back and forth. Won't need to do mission documentaries. We won't need to have translators over there. It'll all be one language. We'll all be in one place. And you know what? I think that day is coming soon. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful to be a part of that. Let's stand to our feet tonight, and we'll stop right there. I always love to stop in the end of a year and beginning of another year and think about what God's will is for me in this coming year. Because if we're in God's will and we're walking in that light, good things will come of that. And it's not what I want to do, and where can I go, and what can we contribute, and where would I like to travel this year? And it has nothing to do with that at all. It's, Lord, whatever your will is. If he wants to send somebody else, then hey, I'll get behind them 100%. If I need to go, or you need to go, or we need to go together, whatever God's will is, that's what's important. Because it isn't about what we can accomplish in this life. It's just simply about what he desires for his bride. Because he's the one who's in control. He's the one who purchased this bride, not me. And so we just want to be sensitive to his will. So we thank him for his love and his mercy. To musicians, if you'll come tonight, let's just bow our heads together for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we count it a real privilege, Lord, to be a part of this great movement, Lord, this great gathering that's happening all over the earth. And Lord, this is just a little foretaste, just a little inkling of what's taking place in the world, where we see the message now reaching out even to the farthest parts of this world and getting into every language and getting into the hands of your people. And Lord, we never would have imagined we'd be here this long. But when we see the body functioning together and cooperating and working in unity, Lord, to see the message go out and to see the ministers taught and the ministers encouraged and given equipment and all the technical things that they need, Lord, and just to see them take that as stewards and to be able to spread the message around the world. Lord, we are humbled just to even be a part of that. And so we pray for men like Brother Anwar, Brother Pavel, and all the different ministers that are overseas, Lord, and those that labor on those foreign fields. We just uphold them tonight and ask your blessing upon them. And for all those that are here that pray and give and express their concern and their love, Lord, for those that are overseas, we just thank you, Lord, that we work together in these things. We thank you for Brother Lonnie and for his labors, Lord, in times which were more difficult than these. And we just thank you, Lord, for men of vision that have labored in former years. And we want to do our part, Lord, whatever it is. And may, dear God, now through this year, as we rededicate ourselves and we reflect upon your will for our lives and for our families, may, dear God, you strengthen each one. May you guide us, Lord, according to your will. And may you fulfill your purpose for why you have chosen us to be here in this last day. And Lord, we want to be found doing the things that are pleasing to you. For at the end of the journey, we want you to say, well done, a good and faithful servant. Lord, we feel the pull to go into that eternity. And we just desire, Lord, that you would just teach us your way and show us that path that you have for us. We know we are never alone, but we know that you're with us and you'll be with us and even in us till the end of the journey. Have your way, Lord, I pray. Bless this church. Father, may you just sustain these that are here and bless the pastor and his family. And Lord, may you assist him and just guide him, Lord, in all that he sets his heart to do. And may, Father, you allow the gospel to continue to go out from here and be an inspiration to people all over the world. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, and we ask your blessing now upon each one. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's sing that little chorus, I Feel the Pull. I Feel the Pull. As Brother Jeff comes tonight, may God bless you. It's certainly good to be with you tonight. And appreciate all of you coming out and facing the elements tonight. It's certainly wonderful. For those of you young men that are here and you want to investigate further about the meeting that we're having in Hickory in February, you're certainly welcome to check out our website. We'll be around tonight to answer some questions. May God bless you. We appreciate you. And may God guide you through this year. Let's sing it tonight. I feel the
just do.
Their first service in 2008. Another year that we have placed behind us, 2007. And now we'll write our checks, sign our letters, 2008. And Lord Jesus, it's our desire to seek you with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, and body. Lord, I think of each time I write a little missionary note to different ones that are supporting the missionary outreach. And each time I sign it, I end sincerely, "We'll work till Jesus comes." And God, each one of us, we want to roll up our sleeves. Lord, many here, maybe they work in a hospital or a restaurant, or they are a plumber or an electrician. Maybe they're a carpenter. Maybe they work in sales. Whatever it might be, that's their vocation, but they have an avocation. They have a primary function, and that's Christian. And God, I pray that each one here under the sound of my voice in 2008 will have the opportunity to win a soul to Jesus Christ. I pray, Father God, that every single person here that loves to witness, perhaps the devil has paralyzed you and silenced you because you don't see very many coming in, you forget about that. God, I just pray that you put a burning desire in every heart here. Lord, may they look for the supernatural. May they look for God as He deals with hearts and lives. And God, may they just be your spiritual bloodhounds. God, may they go out and seek those that are lost. Go out into the highways and the byways and the hedges, Lord. But God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that each one of us, from the pulpit to the pew, each one of us will have an opportunity in 2008, 365 days, to win a soul or more to Jesus Christ. I think of Praying Hyde, John Hyde. He got to the place where he didn't travel much anymore, so he stayed in his room and he prayed a prayer. "Lord, a soul a day, lest I die. A soul a day, lest I die." God, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that lead each one here, Lord God, as we go out beyond these doors, that will be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. We merely have been given a green card here on earth, a temporary visa. God, while we're here, may we, Lord Jesus, win a soul. God, may there be many here today that have the opportunity that when they stand in heaven, that they'll have many to their credit that they won to Jesus Christ. Stars in their crown, that they were able by the grace of God, the scripture says in the last days, and those that are wise will win those to Jesus Christ. That's our desire, Father God. As men run to and fro and knowledge increases and it's getting harder and harder for people to stop and to listen to the salvation story, listen to the great truths that have been unveiled in this last day. No matter how difficult it gets, Father God, may we be so in tune and, Lord, ready, instant and out of season to give an answer of the hope that lies within us. granted, Father. May every one of us know that we all have a job to do. So may we work till Jesus comes. We thank you for this report, God, of what you're doing. And as Brother Barry said, one day he'll not have to travel to and fro, but we will all be together. But until that time, Lord, we have missionaries. We have apostles, teachers, evangelists, pastors going out, Lord Jesus, doing the job that you called us in our respective duties and our jobs. God, give us the grace of 2008 like never before, no matter how great the oppression and darkness, to be the greatest, most bright and shining lights for your gospel. We ask it, Father God. We ask for a refilling of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, such a deep desire and consecration in our hearts, in our prayer life, in our study and meditation of the Word of God, the Lord God will go out and touch hearts and lives. We want, Lord, the very life of Christ, that new birth experience, to be on display. We want that token life to be so on display that the world can see in us the very life of Christ. We realize, Lord, that we have an important task in front of us, that we are the last visage, the last display of Jesus Christ on earth until you rapture your church. Help us, Lord Jesus, to touch lives. May we never despair, Lord God, of doing well. God, thank you, Father, for this time together. We love you with all of our hearts. We commit the seeds that have been sown into fertile and good and honest hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. I want to sing one more song as we dismiss you. In the name of the Lord, let's just sing that song. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday. Pray for me. I got a lot of my heart. Change my heart, O God, and make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Sing it again. Oh, change my heart, O God. Oh, yes. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you are the potter. And you are the potter. Make it ever
I look into your holiness. You're dismissed now.
When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround me come shadows in the light of you.
Hallelujah.
When I found the joy of preaching,
that's it.
That surround become shadows in the light of you. I worship you. I worship you. The reason I live. Love him.
Amen.
With arms wide open.
Thank you.